أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، we started with our journey through the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And last week we spoke about the name Al-Musawwir, Jalla wa Ala. So if you haven't listened to it entirely, then I would advise you to do so, because I think that many important things have been said during the talk about Al-Musawwir. Today, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want to talk about the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Alim. We want to talk about the name of Allah Jalla wa Ala, Al-Alim. The first thing we need to know when we talk about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we can call it a principle that all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are perfect, meaning they don't go through an evolution. Like, for example, now I know, tomorrow I know better, and after tomorrow I know more, then a week later I will forget, then I will know again. This is not the case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is also not like the knowledge of Allah jalla wa ala is not in need of thinking. It is knowing. Knowing, thinking, contemplating is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. He knows at all times. So meaning, When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says أحصى كل شيء عددا, He encompasses the number and the quantity of everything. It means at all times without needing to count, for example. So we're not going to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He encompasses the numbers of everything and all, then we need to know that this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have to count. Like if I were to ask you, how many hairs do you have on your head? You don't know. But nevertheless, it's your head. It's your hair. It's your body. But you don't know how many. Even your eyebrows, which are few in number, not as much as the hair on your head, or your moustache, for example. You don't know. You need to count, and counting it might even be impossible. When we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-alim, meaning that He knows, then He doesn't have to count. Meaning that He knows how many hair you have on your head, together with mine, and that from nisar, divided by two, multiplied by three. He knows everything and all possibilities at all times. So when we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-alim, we mean actually that it is not a knowledge that has been acquired. It is a knowledge that was always there. And this is why He's perfect. So when we say the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are perfect, la naqsa fihi, yani there are no shortcomings in the names of Allah jalla wa ala, then this is what we mean. When we say Allah is the strong one, we can't say tomorrow He will become stronger than today, because His strength is perfect. You see? Because that which is perfect is that which is unlimited. Allah's strength is an unlimited strength, which can't be described by the human tongue. You see? So, and this is one of the important things. So we say the strength of Allah, we say He can't, we don't say Allah will be stronger tomorrow than He is today, because He doesn't go through an evolution. His strength was always there. When we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qawiyul mateen, this is affirming what we are saying. He is the strong one, but His strength never decreases. You see this? And this is why we say, for example, there was a challenge, what 100 seconds holding on to an iron bar and you will receive $100. You had these men with muscle and hustle that would try to hold on for 100 seconds, they couldn't. You had these small, little, tiny, skinny guys, and they would hold on for an hour. So what I want to say is, when we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect, then we mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect in every sense of the word. Is that clear? So one, when we speak about the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing we say, His knowledge was not preceded by ignorance. That's one. Okay? So His knowledge was never preceded by ignorance or by not knowing. Two, his knowledge is all-encompassing. That's point number two. Meaning that there is not a thing that he does not know, and not a possibility that he doesn't know. He knows how your life went and how it would have gone if you would have made 10,000 other choices, then still he would, subhanahu wa ta'ala, know what would have happened. And this is why we, with our small human brain, we are not allowed to say, لَوْ أَنِّي فَعَلْتُ كَذَا وَكَذَا لَكَانَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. If I would have done such and such, then such and such would have happened. How do you know? I even don't know what's going to happen when I drive home. I don't know. So this is the first thing. His knowledge was never preceded by ignorance. Two, his knowledge is never accompanied by forgetfulness. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not for your Lord to forget. He does not forget. No, he doesn't. And three, his knowledge is not connected to what we call now. He knows what happened, he knows what is happening, and he knows what will happen forever and ever and ever and ever. You see this? So this is what we mean when we say Allah is Al-Alim. But now there is a difference. We have tangible knowledge, knowledge of something we can touch, knowledge of something we can see, and knowledge of meanings, like awe, hope, despair. We can't touch this. I might be hiding a feeling that you don't know of. I might be smiling in front of you, but yet in my heart, I might feel very sad, and you don't know. And this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَعْلَمُ سِرَّ وَأَخْفَى. He knows that which is hidden, and that which is even more hidden than that which is hidden. Meaning, the hidden things that even we don't know about. You see? And this is when Isa alayhi salam will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will say, ta'alamu ma fi nafsi. You know what is in me. You know what I have. You know what I think. You know what I feel. And I don't know ma fi nafsik. And I don't know anything that you might be concealing for me. So this is very important, that we know Al-Alim subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and this is where we are going to dig deep. When we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that which is even more hidden than the secret, He knows why you are not increasing in spirituality, for example. Why you are not increasing in prayers, in good behavior. Why you are not able to lower your gaze, while everything in you is saying, I want to lower my gaze. So you see that there are things in life that you want, even things that are good. Like, I don't want to look at haram anymore. I don't want to listen to haram anymore. I don't want to say anything haram anymore. But it's stronger than you. And you don't know where it's coming from. Because everything in your heart is saying, I don't want this. And this is why the mu'min feels bad when he sins. When a mu'min sins, like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, when a munafiq sins, it's like a fly on his nose. And he, you know, waves it away like, go, it's nothing. He says, but when a Muslim sins, a mu'min, it's like he's sitting at the foot of a mountain, waiting for the mountain to collapse, to fall, to break down, to crush upon him. So when we keep on sinning and we do not know why, because everything in us hates it, then we have to ask him by the name Al-Alim. Then we are going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the name Al-Alim. And you are going to ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rabbi, I ask you that which you know to be the reason behind my sin, I ask you to remove it. Naam? And this is why Allahumma astaghfiruka, I ask you to forgive me for that which I know of and that which I don't know of. Because there might be sins within me that I do not know of because of two reasons. Okay? So I might be committing sins that I do not know of because of two reasons. One, lack of knowledge. Lack of ilm. If I don't have knowledge about outward behavior, social behavior, about fiqh of mu'amalat, buying and selling, or just spirituality of how to increase in hope and gratitude, I will be sinning without knowing because I have no scale. And this is why the lack of knowledge is the most dangerous thing that came over this ummah. Which is very, it's actually very strange to see the people that talk about knowledge increase, but the people that study decrease. This is not normal. Like, how can people increase in talking about religion, but decrease in studying religion? That doesn't make sense. But this is one of the signs of the end of times. When the Messenger ﷺ said, until there is no scholar left, فَاتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ رُؤُوسًا جُهَالًا يعني رُؤَسَاء جُهَالًا, they will take leaders that are ignorant. Ignorant about the deen. Ignorant about their fatwa. Ignorant about the results of what they say and talk about. So, he said, فَسُئِلُوا, and these leaders will be asked questions. فَأَفْتَوْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ, and they will give fatwa without knowledge. فَضَلُّوا, and they are misguided themselves. وَأَضَلُّوا, yani they will misguide others. So one of the signs of the end of times is that knowledge will be disappearing. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani he made clear, until jahl will come down on the earth and knowledge will be removed from the face of the earth. Okay, so I said when we are sinning, this is due to two reasons. I might think I'm all right, but subhanAllah, I can't get higher. I want to have these tears. I want to have these fears. I want to have this hope, this love, this awe. But it seems that there is, you know, how do you call it? A ceiling that I can't get through. And this is because of sins. Which sins? One, the ones I don't know of. Or two, the ones that I do not see because I'm not pure enough. The purer you become and the more you work on your soul, the more you will actually see that you fall short. You see this? Like, I always give an example of Usain Bolt, for example. You know Usain Bolt? He's the quickest man on earth, ever recorded, running very fast. Like, he was training for a year to break his own world record. What are we talking about this? It's even quicker than this. He's training 1 year for quicker than this. Yes, salam. Waking up, building his life, his food, his sleep, everything around a microsecond. Where are our microseconds? And when he looks back and he sees that he has broken his record, he says, yes, he's so happy. And he says, how could I have been? I was so slow before and now I'm so fast. Even the difference between women running the 100 meter and men is less than a second. But it's so much. So, like, when you look at it, 10.5 and 9.8, all of a sudden it becomes a world. But it's nothing.
Pride.
It's nothing. So if now, when Usain Bolt looks back, he says, how slow was I? This is what they said of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, إِنَّهُ لَيُغَانْ عَلَى قَلْبِي, like in the Jami' of Imam Suyuti rahimahullah azza wa jal. Yeah, sometimes my heart is covered. I'm going to explain the hadith. He said, فَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And so I do istighfar. And in another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ فَإِنِّي أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ فِي الْيَوْمِ مِئَةَ مَرَّةٍ. And another one, 70 مَرَّةٍ. Yani, ask Allah for forgiveness because I beg Him for forgiveness 70 or 100 times a day. Now Imam al-Munawi rahimahullah azza wa jal, in the explanation of this hadith, in his book Fayl al-Qadir, he says, how do we understand this? Like, why should the Prophet ﷺ yani ask Allah for forgiveness? It is not because he is sinning. It is because the state of prophets is always ascending. It's always going up. It's never going down and there's no stagnation. So when they look back in the state that they were in, they say, I didn't give Allah His due. I didn't give Him what He deserved. While they were giving Him what He deserved. But because the worship of Allah is eternal, because His being is so beautiful that it has the right to be worshipped at all times, then we will see that our getting to know Allah is eternal, forever. And this is why He created paradise. So, because, you know, getting to know Him is limitless. So a world that is limitless had to be created. You see? So now when the Prophet looks back, we say, the mu'minun, they say their faith goes like this. up, down, up, down. They say the angels, stagnation. They say Iblis, only downwards. And the prophets, only upwards. And this is how we should understand the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam making istighfar. Is that clear? So now to come back, the reason why we might not know or be aware that we are sinning is because one, lack of knowledge. Two, a lack of spiritual insight. So the more that we purify ourselves, one, the more sins we will find within ourselves, and two, the bigger the sins will appear in our eyes. Something that I say now, it's okay, it's just a little riba. I went to a sheikh in Jordan, and I had some people that wronged me, you know, and they really, how can I say, they spoke very bad, gossip and this and that. So anyway, I went to the sheikh, and this sheikh, these same people declared the sheikh to be kafir. Okay. So I went to the sheikh, and I said, yes, I'm going to empty my heart. And I said, sheikh, I'm very sad, what should I do? I said, this person, and I named him by name, was the same one that declared the sheikh kafir. I said, he said this, this, and this about me. The sheikh's face turned pale. He put literally his hand in front of my face. And he said, we, the people that are in search for Allah, are not allowed to listen to gossip. Either you don't mention names or you get out of my house. This was the best lesson I ever had. Myself, I said, but Sheikh, I didn't say this. Sheikh, they declare you kafir. He said, and then when I had the feeling when he said this, that Qiyamah was coming down upon my head. Then I said, Ya Rabbi, are people still this pious today? Yes, there are many pious people. And you are Ahlullah. You are welcomed in Allah's house. You, wallahi, if he wouldn't have wanted you in his house, you wouldn't be here. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ The mosques are Allah's. If he doesn't want you here, you don't get in. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Now, so now to come back. So these sins, Allah Jalla wa Ala is Al-Alim. When we say Al-Alim, يَعْلَمُ He knows أَسِرَّ وَأَخْفَى That which is hidden and that which is more hidden than that which is hidden. And these are the things we do not know of. Is that clear? So we have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His ilm. Remember when we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا To Allah belong the beautiful names. And now this is Amr, fi'lu Amr. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a command. And in Usul al-Fiqh, we say, Al-Amru yadullu ala al-wujub. Meaning, when a command is given, then it shows that it is obligatory to do so, unless there is another proof, taking it away from being obligatory to being what? Encouraged. And this is not the case. We have to ask Allah by all of His names. How many names did we use? By Allah. How often did we say Ya Quddus? Why should I say Quddus? How often did I say Ya Khafid, Ya Rafi', Ya Mu'izz, Ya Mudhil, Ya Malik al-Mulk, Ya Dhal Jalali wal Ikram? Some names are used more, like Razzaq, Ya Razzaq, Rizqni. You know? Ya Ghafur, Ya Tawwab. But the other names, how often did we say Ya Wadud? You know, and it is exactly when you use the correct names that you plug your heart in the right, how do you call that? In the right socket. Every name has an effect. We can't say that there is no effect when you pronounce or ask Allah by a certain name. That's not true. Every name, immediately when it comes from the heart, has an effect on you. So now it is for you to look for the right name. Look, for example, your husband or your wife doesn't look at you in the same way that they used to look at you in the first 3 months of marriage. Like, oh, my husband, oh, my wife. And all of a sudden, you come in and nobody looks at you. They say, can you please take out the garbage? It's not even salam, how are you? No, I see your face, I think about garbage. So anyway, just joking. So now, yani, there is nothing going on. So you say, where has it gone? Well, did you ever ask Allah by His name, Al-Wadud? وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً You say, Ya Wadud, I ask you to place love once again between me and my wife, between me and my child, Ya Wadud. You see this? And now what are we going to do with Al-Alim? Many things, but one is Ya Rab. That what you know, that which is the cause for me to sin, which I don't know, please remove this from me. And with this name, bi-idhnillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will happen. So first thing, Al-Alim, his knowledge is never preceded with ignorance or not knowing. Two, his knowledge is never accompanied by forgetfulness. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. We also said Allah doesn't need to count to know something. وَأَحْصَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عَدَدًا. أَحْصَى. He knows it. Like how many, I don't know. Whatever you can imagine, khalas. So now Al-Alim subhanahu wa ta'ala also, and this is very important, every new invention that we see now, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very clear in the Quran, وَيَخْلُقُ, and He creates مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, what you do not know yet. But how does He create it? By inspiring the human brain. By inspiring the human brain. Everything you see around you first was an idea of someone, a dream, imagination. Where did this imagination come from? We call this ilhamun ilahi. It's a divine inspiration. How people all of a sudden thought, like 150 years ago, I don't know how much, to make a plane or to make a car. They were inspired. But what is it? It is actually what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءٍ. They can't encompass anything of His knowledge apart from that which He allows them. So when you see something new, it is through the knowledge of Allah. It is unveiling a part of the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like now, if we look at the body, we look at the lungs, we look at the heart, the way that the child has been created and so forth in the womb. When we look at this, before we didn't know it, but it was always happening. And it was in harmony with Allah's knowledge and power and will. And then He allowed us to witness His knowledge, to witness His power. Ya Salaam. So when you, this is why we say the Alif Lam in the Arabic language, Subhanallah, has more than 10 meanings. The Al. There's Lil Milkiyah, there is Lil Ikhtisas, Lil Istighraq, Lil Istihqaq, and so forth. I'm not going to mention all of them. So when we know that, what did I say before this? This is why we say Alhamdulillah. When we say all praise in all forms and for any reason, whatever it might be, is Allah's. So even when I see a new car, I praise Allah. Why? Because He's perfect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He just shared with us knowledge which was necessary to what? To create something. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah is khayrul khaliqeen and ahsanul khaliqeen. He's the best of creators. Meaning why? He's the only creator. And the others they make through being inspired by Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why the greater your knowledge becomes, the more humble you are. And this is why Imam Sha'rani, not Sha'rawi, Imam Sha'rani, rahimahullah azza wa jal, in his book, Tanbih al-Mukhtarin, he said, the only one that is sure and certain of his ignorance is a alim. Because every page that he turns seems to be telling him, this you didn't know, that you didn't know, this you had to learn, this is a new detail, this is a new alim, this is a new book. So you will see that a scholar is humbled, while people without knowledge are filled with pride when they talk about religion, not in general. You see this? So he said that the only one that is certain of his ignorance is the alim. And the more you learn, the more afraid you are to speak. I had a Sheikh Ali Hani, in Jordan. He's very strong in tafsir, very strong in qira'at, and he's a miracle in the Arabic language. And subhanAllah, because he knew that there was so much to learn, if you would talk to him, of course, not everybody, a student of knowledge would speak with him and you would commit an error. He said, where did you find this? He said, find what, Sheikh? He said, why? Do you have another way of a grammatical, you know, approach of the word? Or is the word pronounced like this as well? I said, Sheikh, I just, you know, committed a mistake. He said, okay. You know, so because he was so humble, he would be open to everything. He would ask, he would be humble. So, subhanAllah. So Sheikh Ali Hani was incredible. He has an explanation of Alfiyat ibn Malik and of Al-Ajr Umiyya, a very good one as well. And he's very strong in tafsir. And you will hear more about him in a year or 20. Because he says he's not ready. SubhanAllah. Okay, so to continue, is they say that scholars, with regards to ilm, go through three gates. Scholars, or people in general, go through three gates. The majority of people get stuck in the first one. They say the first gate of knowledge is pride. Because you get in, you learn one hadith, one ayah, one name of a sheikh, say, khalas, I will tell everybody. I know everything. Because, you know, if you have just one book, or two books, or just a couple of books, you read them, you say, khalas, that's it. Or when you Google, Google is really, who's behind Google anyway? Like you Google, once I asked on my Facebook, like when a worm comes out of the apple, is the worm haram or halal? All the mashaykh, the online mashaykh started answering. Everything was copy and paste. The danger with copy and paste is that when you Google it, it brings you immediately to one sentence. You don't know what preceded it, you don't know what follows it, and you don't know if the sheikh is actually affirming it. He's maybe just mentioning وَقَدْ قِيلٌ, and it has been said this, that, and that. So you say قَالَ إِبْنُ قُدَامَةَ فِي الْمُغْنِي. Ibn Qudama, the great Hanbali scholar, said in his book Al-Mughni. Or Imam Nawawi in Al-Majmu', Shafi'i scholar, whatever. So, and I said, Ya Rabbi, the scholars would be afraid to talk in the name of religion. Ibn Hazm Al-Andalusi, rahimahullah azza wa jal, once he was asked, he said, Aftina fihi bi ra'yik. He was asked, give us a fatwa, what is your opinion? Yani with your opinion. And he didn't answer. While he was a very big scholar, and he had a lot of personal opinions that would go against the former madhahib. And he said, لا أخاف أن أسأل يوم القيامة يا ابن حزم. I am afraid that يوم القيامة I will be asked, oh Ibn Hazm, why did you teach people to worship me through your opinion? Once somebody came to Imam Malik and he said, Ya Imam Malik, I want to ask you a question about wudu. And Imam Malik turned pale. Wudu. He told people, say, Ya Imam Malik, إِنَّهُ لَصَغِيرٌ. They said, it's a small thing. He answered, قُلْ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ فَمَا لِهَؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمِ لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ حَدِيثًا. He said, everything is from Allah. And he said, so everything is big. What is wrong with people that they don't understand? You see? So, and when Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah azza wa jal, was asked, like Imam al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah tabarak wa ta'ala, mentioned, if someone memorizes 100,000 hadith, you should know that in the first generations, when they said hadith, they didn't mean just hadith from the Prophet alayhi sallam. They meant Qur'an, ahkam al-fiqhiyya, yani the ahkam that have to do with jurisprudence. They meant the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They meant knowledge of the ijma', of the consensus, of analogy, and also of the sayings of the tabi'een and the sahaba and the tabi'een. So they said, if one knows 100,000 things, can he give a verdict? Verdict? He said, la. قالوا, they said 200,000. Of course not. They said 300,000. He said, la. They said 400,000. فأشار بيده هكذا. So he said, maybe. They said 500,000. He said, هو ذاك. This without any doubt. Today, wallahi, the cheapest thing is talking about knowledge. And this is one of my, I'm in panic, to be quite frank, when I see that if I were to ask you, can you arrange this door? You say, I have no knowledge, I will call an architect or whatever. If I ask you about, what's the price of the tomatoes today? Say, I don't know, I didn't go to the souk. We are shy and humbled when we have to talk about things that we can see, but when we talk about religion, malish. Do not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made clear, don't say with your tongues, هذا حلال وهذا حرام لتفتروا على الله الكذب إن الذين يفترون على الله الكذب لا يفلحون. Do not say with your tongues, this is halal, that is haram. Because eventually you will, without any doubt, lie about Allah. And this is why Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah azza wa jal, when he wrote his book, and you can say it in two ways, A'lam al-Muwaqi'in or I'lam al-Muwaqi'in an Rabbi al-Alameen, which means like those who put a signature under the name of Allah. Imam al-Shafi'i said, Man afta faqad sharra'. If someone says something about religion, he has claimed that it is Sharia. And when you claim that something is Sharia, you claim that this is what Allah wants. This is why very often you see the first fuqaha, they say, La uhibbuhu, akrahuhu, la yu'jibuni. They say, I don't like it. I'm not fond of it. Actually, they meant it's haram. But they were afraid to give a hukum. Only if it was clear cut, then they would say haram. So they would be very, very, haram would be a very difficult word. Haram means if you do it, you can be punished. That's haram. Ghadabullah. If you do this, it's the ghadabullah. I remember having read in the book Ta'zim al-Futya of Imam Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah azza wa jal, with the verification of Shaykh Hassan Mashhur al-Salman. He said that one of the fuqaha gave a fatwa. He gave a fatwa in the mosque. Someone came to him. And when this man left him, he said, oh no, it was a wrong answer. It was a sheikh. He said, oh no, it was a wrong answer. So the faqih of Baghdad at that time stopped giving verdicts. And he put a poster on every wall saying, a man came to me on that day after Salat al-Dhuhr. He asked for a fatwa, please come back. It took 1 month and a half. During 1 month and a half, he didn't answer any questions. He was afraid. He said, what if this man spread my knowledge and my knowledge was wrong? Until Yawm al-Qiyamah. If you say something, wallahi, people will pass it on. And you will carry it. You will carry it. When the people came to Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, during Hajj, they kept on asking him questions, questions, questions. And then he said, Alaykum anni, leave me alone. He said, but you are this and that, this person. He said, the only thing that you want to do is make me a bridge for you over hell so that you can walk over my back into Jannah and that I will end up in hell. So the people were frightened to talk. Today, to be quite frank, wallahi, to see real scholars has become very, very scarce. To find people that talk about religion, a lot. But people with knowledge, they, subhanAllah, it became a fashion today. We all want to be students of knowledge. Well, like Sheikh Sa'id al-Kamali, Hafidahullah Azza wa Jal said, if you don't memorize Quran, you're not a student of knowledge. This is the first thing. If you can't memorize the basic text, what are you going to do? So it's, just say it's not for me. I'm just going to learn a bit. That's it. So, like in Morocco, 70 years ago, if someone would talk on the street about knowledge and would not have been approved of by the government 100 years ago, they would take him to the Qadi. They would say, this man is a fattan. This man is creating chaos. Subhanallah. When someone came to Imam Malik, rahimahullah, and Imam Malik didn't answer so many questions, he said, what should I tell the people when I go back to Baghdad? I came all the way to Medina. He said, ride on a horse or a donkey and go around Baghdad and tell everybody that Imam Malik didn't know. The students of Imam Malik said, we have learned from Imam Malik saying, I don't know. Or Allahu A'lam. That's why I say Nisful Ilm. Saying Allahu A'lam is the half of knowledge. So now, Allah is Al-Alim. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُعْبَدُ بِالْعِلْمِ وَلَا يُعْبَدُ بِالْجَهْلِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worshipped through knowledge, not through ignorance. And intentions don't count. When the action is wrong, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. So let the one that wants to meet Allah in the best of states, let him perform good actions and have a pure niyyah. This is a free interpretation. But this is one of the verses that the people use to show that we need al-amal, al-salih, which is al-amal al-muwafiq lil-ilm, which is deeds that are conformed to knowledge. And secondly, with a sincere intention. If one of both is absent, there's no good deed. Khalas, finished. Allah. Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, he even goes further. In his book, Ihya al-Din fi Kitab al-Salah, he says that the scholars of the Akhirah, he means the educators, the spiritual scholars, he said there's a consensus amongst them that a prayer without khushu' is not accepted in al-Akhirah. And in this dunya, yes. In this dunya, it's accepted. What does it mean? That the qadi will not give certain rulings that are only applicable upon people that pray. So here the only thing is, if someone prays, khalas. The things that have to do with marriage and other things, inheritance between Muslims. But he says in al-akhirah, the Prophet ﷺ very clearly said, laysa, or this, أو كما قال, يعني ليس للمرء من صلاته, يعني someone will only have from his prayer what he remembers. Is that clear? Okay. So Allah is al-alim. So one of the things we are going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to grant us knowledge. Okay? To grant us knowledge. And knowledge, or Islamic knowledge, has always been through memorization. Like Imam Ibn al-Jazari, rahimahullah azza wa jalla, said in his Tayyibatul Nashr, he says, وَبَعْدُ فَإِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيْسَ يَشْرُفُ إِلَّا بِمَا يَحْفَظُهُ وَيَعْرِفُ. Someone will not be honored but by that which he knows and memorizes. Memorization. We are the ummah of memorization. And now we are the ummah of appization. App. All on apps. And when you take away the phone, you take away the brain. Scholars, they have a book in front of them to read from and they explain it from their heads. If we live in a time where people, or a lot of people that talk about religion, are incapable of talking without something in front of them, this is wrong. Either we go for it, we make it, but we don't fake it. And this is what is happening today. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, like in the Sunan of Abi Dawood and others, that one day people will come and they will be, subhanAllah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there will be youngsters that talk about the general affairs of religion. He called them ruwaybida. Ruwaybida. People without knowledge, deep knowledge, fast knowledge, talking about big things. And this is what we have to stay away from. Okay, so in brief, you see that I'm talking about knowledge a lot, right? Because I think it's necessary for us as a ummah to study again. Because knowledge is dying. Wallahi, knowledge is dying. When I see a poster on Facebook, sisters, tafsir night, cupcakes included. I say, Ya Rabbi, tafsir was the last thing that scholars would do. Tafsir is the end of the end of the end of the end of the end. Not just because it's Allah's word, but because you are in need of every other knowledge. Of morphology, of grammar, of art of speech, of the fundamentals of fiqh and hadith, of seerah, of everything you can imagine yourself. And now, let us have tafsir night. Oh yeah, that's good. Subhan. You know, I think I have read about 70 tafsir, and that's not enough. Every tafsir you read is different. Every tafsir, you find that one little tiny thing that adds up to the puzzle. And subhanAllah, and you can't get enough. Once I had a dream, and I'm not going to mention the names of the scholars, and I saw three scholars. And they were very strong in Quran, like they're from the past. They were so strong. And I asked them, if Allah would bring you back to the dunya, what do you regret most? And each one of them said that I haven't invested more time in tafsir. They all wrote tafsir. They said that I haven't invested more time in tafsir. So now, with what are you going to do tafsir? When you ask people that come to you and say, brother, I want to give you sincere advice for Allah. Once I, 2 years ago, I had a khutbah in, I think it was, Allah Alam, somewhere in Birmingham. And they say the holy, what? Holy state of Birmingham, or how do we call it? I don't know. So anyway, so I went there and I gave a khutbah. And then there was a man that came to me, mashallah, dressed very nicely, mashallah, according to the sunnah, everything. He said, brother, I said, yes, I need to give you advice. I said, hold on. I said, please do. He said, you invite towards the sunnah, but you destroy it. I said, why? He said, because during your khutbah, you made dua, and you said, Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Muhammad alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I didn't find barik in the Quran and the sunnah when it comes down to the salah over the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I said, look, in places where there is a dua, a specific dua that has been said, I will stick to the wording of the Prophet alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in a general dua that has not been specified, I can do what I want. He said, this is too much of a philosophy. This is too much philosophy. I said, this is not philosophy, this is usul fiqh. I said, we can sit together and we go over the usul. And he said, no. And he said, second, he said, when you read Wal ad-dhalin, he said, your count was 5.5 instead of 6. I said, look, I can be mistaken, but I said, if one thing I'm sure of, it's my qira'at. Alhamdulillah, I finished my qira'at and my 14, and inshallah I have ijazah in it, so I don't doubt my sheikh who gave me my ijazah, and I have ijazah from more than one sheikh. So anyway, and they said, no, it was 5.5. I said, maybe, yes, I'm a human, I make mistake. Then he took like a big book, said, look at my ijazahs. I said, why are you showing this? So that you would believe me. I said, barakallahu feekum, brother, I really love you for Allah's sake. And then subhanAllah, he made a mistake in the Arabic language. Then I just went off. So I had another one coming to me as well. He spoke to me, was giving me advice. And then he went and he said to a girl, he said, كيف الحالك؟ He made like 5 mistakes. I said, how can you give advice and not knowing the language of the Quran? So anyway, when we want to study our religion, we really need to go for it. And we need people. We need women and we need men to be teachers. We really need this. And this is like a cry for help. Like the people that are doing it are over their heads in dawah and teaching. So please, if you feel any that you want to be a part of that, then inshallah we can talk later on, inshallah. Okay, bismillah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-alim, as I said. And the beauty of him being al-alim is that he does not punish us according to his knowledge of what we are going to do in the future. Now, so he does not punish us, punish the people in harmony with what he knows that they will do. Like if I do tawbah now, as we said before, I repent now, say, Wallahi ya Rabbi, never again. He knows I will do it again. But nevertheless, he will forgive. Because he judges us according to what we are, not according to what he knows what we will do. Otherwise, we would all have been destroyed. And the beauty between two sins is, like, I promise that I won't sin, and I will sin again, and he knows this. But after my repentance, while I'm heading for the new sin, which I even don't know of, he takes care of me, and he shows me love. And he shows me his presence. And he bestows his blessings upon me. while he knows that I'm about to sin in a year or a month or a week. This is so beautiful. So his knowledge is also the knowledge of how we were created and how weak we are and how tempted we are. And if it were not for that knowledge, yani we would have been destroyed. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's al-Halim in his ilm. So it's Alimun Halim. Alimun Halim. And Shaykh Ahmed Zarruq, rahimahullah azza wa jal, the Maliki scholar, he said in his explanation of Hizb al-Bahr of Imam Abu Hassan al-Shadili, rahimahullah azza wa jal, and Zarruq was a very big Maliki scholar. He said, Al-Halim is the one who is not pushed by his anger to punish. No? So meaning Al-Halim is the one that has every right to be angry, every right to punish, every right to destroy, but he doesn't do it. You see? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the Alim, yani, he already knows where we are heading for. And this is very often an issue that people don't understand. See, like, if Allah knows everything, then why do we need this life? Why doesn't He just put us in hell or in paradise? Hell, paradise. Well, they say, like Imam Al-Hakami, rahimahullah, said in his Sunnah al-Wusul, لِكَيْ لَا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّ بَلْ لِلَّهِ أَعْلَى حُجَّ عَزَّ وَجْهَلْ. Meaning, so that there wouldn't be an argument. Like, we wouldn't feel wronged. We would know this is the result of what we have lived. And what we should know is that everyone amongst us has made a choice. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took us out of the back of Adam alayhi salam, He took all the souls in front of Him. All of us were in front of Allah. Without any exception. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this, that He took every soul out of Adam that would exist until the Day of Judgment. فَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. So he made them testify against them. Yani, if they would be lying, it would be against them. أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. And he said, am I not your Lord? And everybody said, bala. Everybody. You said in front of Allah, yes. And in harmony with the strength of your yes, you will be stronger in your faith here or weaker. But now, what made me stronger or weaker in my yes? Because everybody was shown a way to paradise and a way to hell. That is where you made your choice. And now, to be quite frank, even if I would tell people now, you know, until you're 50, you can live the way you like. On a road, every 5 kilometers, you have a hotel, 5 stars. Everything's paid for. A hotel, 5 stars. You have, you know, everywhere you go, there's a halal beach, and you can drink what you like, eat what you want. Every 500 kilometers, you have a Bentley, or a Rolls-Royce Phantom, or a Bugatti. Whatever you like, everything is there. You will never be sick. There is no violence, no animals, nothing. During 20 years, this is your path. But at the end, you will be poor. You will have nothing. At the end, you will be poor in a small house, full with moisture. You say moisture? You say that? Yeah. And I got to know this in England. So moisture. So, and then you show him a second way. Look, or you can go 20 years on a road. There is nothing 20 years long but dates and water. There are wild animals. And there are -1-star hotels with fleas and lice. So anyway, so really terrible situation. 20 years, the other one 20 years, good road. And at the end you have a palace. Wallahi, a lot of people will say, I want it now. A lot of people say, just standing in front of the road, looking at these wild dogs and pumas and anacondas, and you know, -1-star hotels, you're going to say like, I'm not doing this. Yes, but at the end you will be happy. I am not doing this. I believe it, but I can't. And the other ones will say, no, I want now. The other ones will say, no, I will be patient. Aql. They use their mind. Say, no, I will be patient 20 years, and then I get to that final destination, a palace. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us. وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Balad. We showed him the both ways, the path. And that also refers to the path in the Akhirah. And you were standing, and if you die as a Muslim, you made the choice for that difficult road. But in harmony with how much you wanted the other one, you will be stronger or weaker. You see this? Because you were a bit, and you feel this sometimes. All of a sudden, it's more to the dunya. Oh, astaghfirullah, what am I doing? And that was your choice. So, subhanAllah, we were all in front of Allah Jalla wa'ala. We made our choices there and then. Allah. And then Allah sent the prophets to remind us of our promise. To remind us that we gave a covenant, that we told Allah that we would be good and what? And follow the right way. Anyway, so Allah is Al-Alim. So when we go to paradise or go to hell, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all, Ameen. Then it's that so that we would have an argument for ourselves. And this is why the people, when they enter the hellfire, they won't say like, I didn't deserve this. What's happening? No. Allah Jalla wa'ala in Surah 39, Az-Zumar, He makes very clear that the they will say the moment they enter hellfire, وَلَكِنْ حَقَّتْ كَلِمَةُ الْعَذَابِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ Yani the punishment is justified for those who ignored and denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They won't feel that they are wronged. There's one thing that the people in hell won't have, and that is that they are certain of the divine justice. They won't blame God ever, which they did here. They know now that He exists. And this is what makes it difficult for them, because they're not allowed to look at His beauty. إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ says Allah Jalla wa'ala in Surah Mutaffifin. He says, that day they will be, what? Veiled from their Lord. And this is the biggest punishment. Exactly that being close to Allah is the biggest reward of the people of paradise. The biggest punishment of the people in hell is not just the physical pain. It's being veiled from the one now they know that exists. That makes it the ghadabullah, the anger of Allah on the people of hell is their biggest punishment. And Allah being content with the inhabitants of paradise is the biggest joy. And this is why Allah, and that's the last thing I want to say, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادًا For those who do good, there is paradise and more. What is more? Being close to Allah. Better than all these castles of silver and gold and diamond. Are you going to compare creation to creator? Abadan. Like if Allah would be angry, which can't be, if Allah would be angry with the people of paradise, they wouldn't rejoice. It's His divine love. He's saying salamun qawla min rabbir rahim. That He will say salam. Allah will say salam to the people of paradise. So it is the divine nearness. It is the divine love and contentment that we will rejoice in with our souls before rejoicing in paradise with our bodies. That's the biggest gift. So Al-Alim subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you see, it's a very large name. It's a very, subhanAllah, beautiful name. So what are we going to do with this name? One, we are going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His beautiful names to show us our shortcomings so that we can see them and can get rid of them. Two, we are going to ask Allah, when you don't grasp anything, something that you are studying, ask Allah. Like sometimes, I don't understand this. Ibn Sina, now it took him, he read 40 books before understanding something. 40 different books, he said, and then my opening came. And the Fathullah. So now, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you knowledge and insight. But before you do something, and that's for next time, al-istikhara, where you ask Allah to make a choice on your behalf. That's istikhara. Istikhara means that you ask Allah to choose on your behalf, and that you have no feeling. You say, Rabbi, it's for you. Okay? So we are going to talk about istikhara next time in the light of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-alim. I ask Allah jalla wa ala to make this beneficial. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us deep knowledge. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us love for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and to make us love him more than we love ourselves. We ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to protect our families and the poor people and the oppressed in the whole wide world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give ease to everybody who's suffering and to cure all the sick. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring an end to the war on the world, in this world. Ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Thank you.